Hello there again. This is Bill Woods. Wanting to wish you a happy Holy Week and leading into a wonderful Easter. And you know, I just can hardly believe it. We seem like we just celebrated Christmas, and here we are at Easter time, or the Resurrection Sunday of Jesus Christ. And I guess it's because they say that time seems to go faster the older you get. Well, I'll tell you, it's really whizzing by right now. Today I want to talk about Satan often shoots himself in the foot. I read in 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 23. I'm reading out of the New King James Version and all these scriptures. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. You know, on April 11th, 2011, a Pima County sheriff's detective shot himself in the leg while he was getting ready to attend a firearms qualification class. He was taken to a Tucson hospital. I think that must have been very embarrassing for this gentleman. November 11th, 2019, in Golson, Texas, a man was recovering after shooting himself in the foot. McLennan County Sheriff's Office officials said Monday that the accidental shooting happened at around 12:20 a.m. Sunday at the 800 block of River Road. The 25-year-old man told deputies he forgot he had a gun concealed in his waistband, and as he was changing clothes, the gun dropped out of his waistband and onto the floor and discharged, shooting him in the foot. Deputies responded, and the man was transported by ambulance to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Again, on November 11th, 2019, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the police said a man accidentally shot himself in the foot on Monday, and his girlfriend drove him to Tulsa McDonald's. Now, it seems kind of strange you'd go to McDonald's for a bullet in your foot. Investigators told Fox 23 the man mishandled a gun, dropped it, and shot himself in the foot. The woman took him to McDonald's because his mother works there. EMTs responded and took him to the hospital. You know, these are not the only ones to shoot themselves in the foot. Satan often shoots himself in the foot. Case in point, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. We're celebrating this on next Sunday. He's alive. It's important for every Christian to be absolutely certain that Calvary was an unutterably glorious triumph. When we understand that, we'll realize our authority over Satan and his demons, and we'll no longer need to cower from him or be pushed around by him. We'll know that we're children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, and we're part of the family of God. Satan shot himself in the foot when he tried to destroy Jesus Christ. I have wonderful news for you today. Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary and his descent into hell, totally defeated and disarmed Satan both legally and dynamically, so that the Apostle Paul says, if the demons had known, they wouldn't have. In fact, let's read the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, that hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age know, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Liberals, Satanists, pagans, and all the godless heathen organizations in the world are challenging the reality of Christ's victory today. Most are trying to make a joke out of this wonderful truth. They're flooding Resurrection Day, calling it Easter, flooding it with bunnies and Easter baskets and all that. In fact, Netflix even went farther and made a blasphemous video that came out 2 or 3 weeks ago. I saw it online. It shows in cartoon form Jesus on the cross, Jesus coming down from the cross and taking the nails that had his hands nailed onto the cross, turning them to 2 AR-15s and turning the guns on the Romans and killing every one of them. And then it shows that he had an orgy with 2 women at the foot of the cross. Blasphemy. I don't think these guys are going to want to face God when the time comes for judgment. This is some of the worst blasphemy I've ever seen. Most of the world claims the cross was a defeat, a stupid display of divine weakness. They claim that God's been cowed and beaten into submission by a superior force led by Satan. Satan tries to persuade the church and the world that he's as powerful as God. Because of today's anemic Christians and milquetoast churches, the world's convinced that Lucifer is at least equal with Christ. It's because Satan's hidden what happened to him at Calvary and between the cross and the resurrection. But that isn't as much a threat as what's happening inside the present-day evangelical churches. There's organizations like the Emerging Church Movement that's contaminating God-given theology in established Christianity. Their message seems to be times have changed and churches need to change with the times to make the old message of salvation more palatable, more relevant to the modern generation. In order to make the church more palatable, they're questioning the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even questioning if hell really exists or if God will ever send anybody there. Their thought is to make the message of salvation more comfortable so people will readily accept it. We don't want to scare them away, and that old repentance stuff does just that. I, for one, don't want to make sinners more comfortable. I want to disturb them so badly that they'll be desperate to get things right with God before they're coddled into eternity in hell. Listen to Ezekiel 3:18. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. There are a lot of preachers today that are going to stand before God with bloody hands because they were afraid to preach the actual gospel of Jesus Christ. I do not want to be one of them. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Listen to me. The Bible doesn't change. It has not changed throughout all time because God is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible is not a chameleon. It doesn't shift and change and adopt to culture. It confronts culture. It confronts every man, woman, and child with their need to repent of their sins and be forgiven. Actually, the destruction of today's church isn't coming from the enemies outside of the church that want to destroy God's work. We're being destroyed by those compromises within the church. Amos gave a good description of what we face today. In Amos 5:19, it says, it will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. The lion and the bear want to destroy, but the one that gets the job done is the serpent that's on the inside. Satan isn't God's competitor. He's not even in the same league as God. It's like a 5-year-old boy comparing his basketball abilities to LeBron James. Satan thought that he'd figured out how to defeat God, but Satan won no victory by having Christ put on the cross. Jesus was dead, but Satan couldn't hold him in the grave or in hell. Because Christ proved himself superior to Satan, he brought victory for us over sin, death, over the grave, over hell. Satan often shoots himself in the foot. His schemes frequently backfire. His plan backfired when he tried to take over God's throne. Remember, he got a rebellious bunch of angels in heaven. They tried to take over the throne of God, and he and his demons got cast out of heaven. His plan backfired when he caused man to fall in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This prophesied continual conflict between good and evil, sin and the Savior. It forecasts the final outcome. You know, heel bruises hurt and are painful and crippling, but aren't fatal. The fall infected all mankind. The serpent's enmity was unrelenting since Eden. Many painful wounds have been inflicted. But Jesus has taken our wounds, and he's taken all our sin upon himself. Isaiah 53, 4 through 12. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Satan received a fatal blow at Calvary, just as God said he would in Genesis 3:15. The wound dealt by Satan was not fatal. Christ overcame and defeated Satan. This wound dealt by to Satan, or this wound that was dealt to Satan, was fatal. This was God's breakthrough in healing man's sin disease, Isaiah 53:5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Satan's plan to intermingle demons with humans to further corrupt the world and God's creation backfired. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2 says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Evidently, fallen angels or demons cohabited with human women, and their offspring, which we call Nephilim, was extremely evil. The world became so wicked that God destroyed creation with a flood, but he salvaged Noah and his family because Noah had lived a righteous life. All through history, from the fall of man to the birth of Christ, Satan tried to destroy the seed that would bring the Messiah. It's an interesting study to see all that he tried to do to stomp out Christ from being born, but because of the restraint of time today, we'll study that some other time and get into it in much detail. Finally, Jesus, God's Son, was born. Satan's plan had failed to stop the baby from being born. It failed again when he inspired Herod to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem, attempting to kill Jesus while still he was a baby. God warned Joseph and that Jesus was to be taken out of there to take safety, and so Joseph was to move Mary and Jesus to Egypt. You know, Satan can't get the upper hand on God. Satan's plan to tempt Jesus to sin and make him unfit to be his Savior failed miserably. Bang! There goes another bullet in the foot. Jesus wouldn't take an easy way to popularity. Satan knew he couldn't hold the human race unless he caused Christ to sin and break the tie between God the Father and the Son. He tried everything to disqualify Jesus from being the Messiah. Temptations, conflict with religious leaders. He even tried to cause him to have a nervous breakdown and go to pieces in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the crucifixion. Although Jesus is God, he had to fight this battle as a man. It would have violated universal justice and been a shallow victory if Jesus Christ had used weapons or powers not available to Adam. He had the resources of God at his command, but he conquered Satan as an unfallen man. One of my favorite songs at Easter is, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. From Bethlehem to Calvary, the battle raged. Never did Jesus waver in his commitment to God the Father's will or to us. It wasn't physical suffering that brought the agony in the garden, although we know that was extremely awful. That was nothing, though, compared to the torture of his spirit. It was the anguish of a pure soul who knew no sin being made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus had to identify so completely with sin that he not only lost fellowship with God, his Father, but became the object of his Father's loathing. This wasn't just a legal representation of sin. He was made sin. He took my beating, my crown of thorns, my cross, my agony, and yours too, and he became the very essence of sin by dying as the sin offering. His spirit was sent to the depths of hell to suffer agony for the whole human race. I have people that say, "Well, I don't think he actually had to go to hell." Listen, he tasted fully the horrors of sin. He had to experience everything a sinner would experience in order to be able to pay totally the price for our sins. Imagine what happened in hell when Jesus Christ finally died on the cross. Satan and his demons were drunk with victory. After centuries of trying, they had finally defeated God's Son. They murdered the Messiah. Who would save mankind now? Jesus Christ was dead. His body was sealed in a tomb. Guards were set out in front of the tomb. Nobody could disturb it. His spirit had been in hell for 3 days. He was suffering torment like any sinner. At long last, Satan was the supreme ruler of the universe. At long last, God's plan had failed. God's Son was dead. But wait, what was that report? Jesus Christ is alive? It can't be. He's broken the powers of death and the grave and hell. Calvary wasn't a defeat for God. It was total victory. Satan could kill and destroy mortal man because men were his slaves. He could treat his slaves however he pleased. Jesus was not his slave. When Satan killed Jesus, he became a murderer. When Jesus died without failing in the tiniest detail, his death not only defeated Satan's purpose to enslave him, it canceled Satan's legal claims to the earth and the human race. Satan became a murderer. Murderers are subject to the death penalty. A convicted murderer forfeits his own life. He destroys himself. Satan destroyed himself in the death of Jesus Christ. He's doomed to be in hell for all eternity, not to rule, but as a rebel suffering all hell has to offer. He couldn't hold Jesus Christ in the grave. Christ broke through the walls of hell and demonstrated that Satan is a defeated foe. His stinger has been removed. Jesus Christ is alive today. Satan is a defeated enemy because I share in the victory of Jesus. Satan has no hold on me because my Lord's grave is empty. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Because He lives, I have a right standing with God. My sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has forgotten them because, as He does, He says He will remove my sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them against me anymore. I am a child of God. I will rule with Him in glory. Praise God. Jesus destroyed Satan's plan again. Now puny man becomes joint heir with Jesus Christ. Well, Satan said this couldn't be. There must be some mistake. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Nice going, Satan. Satan's plans were destroyed. You know, the dictators in the Mideast sometimes keep people in bondage. In fact, there's a lot of people today suffering because of their stand for Jesus Christ. Because of the persecuted church and the fact that the world's trying to stomp Jesus out of the picture. Satan can't possibly hold us in bondage if we want to be free because Jesus paid the price for our redemption and forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Today, Satan's still trying to defeat God's plans. He's put into place the structure for the counterfeit Christ. The world's set up for a one-world government, one-world religion, one-world currency. Antichrist is coming, as described in Revelations. Satan is promising, you know, the power and whatever he can promise people. He promises some, you know, there's going to be reincarnation. You can come back in a better life. Listen, Hebrews 9:27-28. "And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ has offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Satan offers power, peace, prosperity. He wants to just offer you anything. What a liar he is. In fact, Jesus said he's the father of all liars. Soon it'll be wham, and he'll have shot himself in the foot one more time, the last time, because Jesus is coming back, and Jesus is going to set things right. Satan and his followers will be bound and thrown into the lake of fire. I want to be lakeside, leading the cheering section as this happens. God's family, you and me, if we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, and I do, we will reign with Christ through all eternity. How do I know? Because Jesus shattered Satan's plans at the cross, in the tomb, and at the resurrection. Celebrate today. He's alive. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And I think that is such a wonderful truth to tell you that Easter or Resurrection Sunday is more than Easter eggs and little bunnies and all the things that Satan has tried to do to substitute what we're doing for that day. It is a day of victory for Christians, a day where I can be reconciled and know that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ and I've got part of the kingdom of God. If you don't know him as your Savior today, I just hope that you'll find him. I would pray with you right now. Dear Jesus, I would ask that each one that's listening to this podcast would do some heart searching and make sure that their hearts are right with you. How we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you were willing to leave that beauty of heaven and step into earth and become part of the human race, take our sins upon yourself and die on a cross in our place and not stay dead, but be resurrected and be alive forevermore. And because of that, we know because you live, we also can live someday with you in heaven for all eternity. Thank you, Lord. Help those that don't know you to confess their sins, accept you as their personal Savior, and begin living a life of holiness. We love you today, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to contact me through by mail, William Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029, or my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. God bless you. Have a glorious resurrection day. I'm so glad that we have this to celebrate. Thank you. Talk later.